Stupid Navajo. I'm already getting cat calls. I get that all the time. So it's nothing new. I'd like to mention first, you know, the Indians always like food. Wherever they go, they like to indulge in as much food as they can. Just keep it up and we'll have the MPs in here. We're a whole court right here. No, I think you folks like to joke and laugh at each other, but the main thing that we should all be thankful for is the food. And that's what goes down in this hatch, and that's what keeps us going. And as Indian, we like to thank you fine folks who have a lot to do with all the food that you have provided for us through our distinguished organization here, the 4th Marine Division Association. And the other thing that I would like to thank Doris Paul. Where are you?
Right there, right there.
They've been mentioning your book, but they never mentioned you. How about standing up? And of course, her boss, Mr. Paul. They deserve a lot of credit in giving us this information in a printed form. Now, the secret has lasted until around about 1969. I believe our Navajo paper, Navajo Time, was the first to print most of the words. So that was how it got out. So now it's all over. It's probably being reprinted in Hong Kong. Laugh some more. They say laughter's good for your kidneys. So. Then, of course, we'll present a short version of the hoop dance, which, of course, the Taos Pueblo takes full credit for. Zani Gorman will demonstrate that routine for you, probably right over there, or over here, in fact, in the corner, wherever she can find a space. At this time, I'd like to mention our folks, Mr. and Mrs. Carl Gorman. Carl, would you stand?
Carl.
He's one of our greatest sea storytellers. Eugene Crawford. Take a bow, my friend. He's our storekeeper of all the fine liquor. These two gentlemen and myself are here tonight of the original 29 men and boys, I was with the boys, that boarded the Smelly Greyhound bus for San Diego back in 1942. After we finished the regular recruit training, of course, we went up there to Camp Elliott. We never heard of Mr. Johnson all this time. And we trained there until about October. I think the worst thing that they presented to us each day was that Morse code. After Mick Liberty, you know, Gene here and Carl, they just couldn't get that thing. So they gave up on them. They stuck with the Navajo code talk. After we went overseas, of course, then these other gentlemen came along. Not all at one time, they came in a different phase of the game of enlistee. They're all volunteers. I don't think anyone was drafted. No way. That's how our Indians are saying now. What was the other one now?
Ride on.
Ride on. That's the new code.
I will tell you a little joke. You know, a Navajo joined the Marine Corps. When he came back after he got his boot trained, he got home there and he was parading up and down there. And he said, I'm a Marine. And this is what they say, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, back and forth. And Grandma was watching him, and finally, she said, "What are you? What kind of army? What army force are you? Do you belong?" He said, "I am a Marine." So when he left, went back to the camp, she was telling some of her relatives that, "I don't know what's wrong with my grandson. He came back and he said he was some kind. He said, I think he said he was a Marine." My daughter just stands here. She There was a boy that danced the other night over at the in Los Angeles, and he used 22 hoops. And my daughter, after we got home there, she got a tablet and pencil and started figuring mathematically. He said it could be broken down. So finally she broke it down to 5 hoops. And that's what you see. She used 5 hoops.
Thank you. Do the rhythm dance back here.
To all the people that made everything possible for us. Thank you for the wonderful food you have provided us. It was great and we enjoyed ourselves. Thank you. My name is Jalene Begay and I'm the president of Miss Navajo. And right now, I'm going to do a rug song. This song is sung by the Navajo women, which will speed their weavings. And I don't think this song has been broken. Yeah. Schüttelt nicht, grün nicht, auch mit ähnlich Junge. Und es ist krass, ich schüttelt nicht, grün nicht, auch mit ähnlich Junge. Schnee ist krass, ich schüttelt nicht, grün nicht, auch mit ähnlich Junge. Die Welt krass, ich schüttelt nicht, grün nicht.
That means you both have enough now. Now some of their parents would like to have them do a Yevche dance. I'm sure there's 6 foot dancers here, so we have some rattles back there. After another hoop number, and then we'll have another ribbon dance number. After that, you boys will come on up here, do your stuff. Remember, you used to do it behind the mess hall over there. After you stack all your beer cans up in the ceiling.
Our dancers back there. Six dancers, yeah. Any six dancers. Yeah, that's one.
Come on, boys. Come on, Carl. Bring your team. That's the way they are, you know, boy. It takes kind of a little while to get them going. There's one, the leader. This one is called the Navajo Yeviche dance. It's usually danced by six-man dancers. Sometimes they include the female dancers. How about some women dancers out here? One more dancer up here. Come on, Philip. Mr. Lugo. You notice how graciously they volunteer, just like they do for guard duty or mess duty. They generally kind of go over the song, so that's what they're doing now. I would like to thank all of you for the fine food, and as been said, all of you. Here we go.
I know nothing about the song.
They want the general to join in as
well. Yes.
The general's going to join in. The general? Just follow this PFC.
Light jumping, general.
Okay.
Watch those pictures.
I'm going to have to put my shutter speed way down.
Give him time, let's get started. After all that stuff, you know how it works on you.
Stop.
Now you go out. Lay it out that way. There you go. Come on, nice big man. Sing the song.
for the occasion here. It's a flag song that I put together merely describing our present stars and stripes. White stars, red, white, and blue, how proudly, how wonderfully it waves, so on. Our enemy hates it. However, our soldiers around the world are guarding it. Hopefully that it'll fly forever. This is a flag song in Navajo.
If you want to learn the Navajo language, learn as a conversational, come down, I'll give you the work.
Three hours college credit, too. Now that things are settled down again, I would like to pay equal give equal attention and pay equal appreciation to the other co-host of this evening's event. Again, working equally as hard as Carl Dearborn to put on this program and put on the dinner for this evening. And so I would also like this time then, let's give this gentleman a well-deserved round of applause. I would also like to present him with the book on Navajo, A Century of Progress, to the co-chairman, Mr. Aaron Watson. thanks to Colonel Preble for the use of one of his very able assistants, staff members, Staff Sergeant Dub Allen, who has done a fantastic job of photography and covering, at least photographically, the week that we spent here in California. This photograph that was presented earlier is an example of his work. And he's also made a very memorable, I think, contribution to the code talkers themselves as a remembrance of this event. There's a smaller copy of the larger photograph, as well as a very good photograph of them marching down Colorado Boulevard, which is what we're all here for to begin with. And there's one each of these to every code talker. And again, our thanks to Deb. By golly, they are all in step.
Martin, could you get those to James? Could you give those to James?
Okay. Yeah, let me present the first two to our president, James Nockey. President Mr. Nockey has another presentation that he'd like to make at this time. And so without further ado, I'll turn the microphone for what it is. Communication sometimes hasn't improved, I don't think. We can send a man to the moon, but we can't talk across the room. But I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Nockey for a presentation.
Thank you, Lee.
Martin.
Again,
stay away from that one.
Again, I say it is a pleasure at this time for me to make a presentation to one of the men that has really worked together with us. He's scraped in the money. His efforts have been untiring. He's gung-ho. And we really appreciate all the work he has done for the 4th Marine Division Association and also for the Code Talkers Association. If it wasn't for him, we would not have our organization today. Just like in any organization, you must have somebody to help you. And as for me, I appreciate this and will continue to appreciate great efforts made by individuals, by organizations, by associations in helping to develop our young men, young women, whereby we can show them what we can do to help each other, because this is all the world is for. We need to help each other so there will be everlasting peace throughout our country and the world. So at this time, I'd like for Lee Cannon to come forward. He is no longer Lee Cannon. He is now Lee Can Do. It is with deep sincerity, humility, and pride that we present this to you.
Open it up, ladies.
Open it up. Open it up.
Save that wrapper, it's expensive.
It's going to be a picture of a bus. That doesn't get anywhere on time.
True.
This painting says to Lee Can Do, with deep appreciation to your efforts on behalf of the Navajo Code Talkers, January 1st, 1975. May you forever walk in the path of beauty. Signed by the Code Talkers.
Already mentioned this gentleman's name a couple times tonight, and he's given us a run for our money. But it's been that much more of an enjoyable 4 or 5 days because we've had the pleasure of the company of the only Polack Marine I've met so far. But being that he's straight and true and he has absolutely no bad habits whatsoever. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke. Put it out. But he'd like to make a presentation on his own behalf to the Code Talkers, John Danoff.
I know you guys don't want to volunteer for nothing, but I need one volunteer. You'll be sorry if you don't. Come on, I need one volunteer. You won't regret it. Come on. I got the right man for what you guys are going to get. You don't know.
Well, I'm from Borneo.
I'm the man from Poland.
I'm Borneo man.
Now, you guys are going to have a long trip back, and there ain't no water where you're going, right? Now, what you're going to get tonight, you don't touch till tomorrow. I present you with one magnum jug of champagne. Right. And I don't drink. Here you are, boss.
For a few.
Got to be the best in the world. It's my honor and pleasure to have met you, and whenever you need, call.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, wasn't that great entertainment on the part of our own Navajos? When the folks got together here, in addition to 11 broadcasting companies, radio, television, all of the newspapers, there were many ancillary benefits, I'm sure, that will go on for a long, long time. in the same spirit of what Wilson Skeets talked about. Long overdue recognition. I have here in my hand, the Wall Street Journal just reached me, and here is one of the finest articles that I have ever read on the Code Talkers. I've had it duplicated so that you can take it back with you. The chairman of the tribe, the officers are mentioned, what their contribution was during the war. The Wall Street Journal is one of just hundreds of newspapers around the country that will be telling this story to the people. And actually, with no apologies, it was a story that you really couldn't talk about until the code was declassified. And the code was just declassified a short time before we presented the medallions in Chicago. But now there's a book that's been written, and a very fine book. You know, very often books are written about various Indian tribes, and when the tribes read the book, they're just furious. That wasn't the case with Doris Paul's book. It's a credit to the people. It's a credit to what they did. Doris Paul, as an author, has been invited to appear on many television shows around the country. In approximately 30 cities, she's been telling their story. I think it's only fitting and proper that she stand and take a round of applause. I met Doris Paul through a very fine man who I've known for many, many years. And when we got together, Dr. Wilson Paul, the finest auditorium manager in the entire United States, who has been bringing to Michigan State University the greatest entertainment in the world, one of the real authorities on opera and ballet and artists of every possible sort. And I watched him as he watched your Navajos dance today, and I think he was as entertained today as he has been with any classic act he's ever booked into Michigan State. Am I right, Wilson?
That's right.
He said that's right. Let's give him a hand. You can have a great committee put on a great show, but unless you've got workers, you've got nothing. I want to thank Martin Link for paying tribute to Carl Dearborn, Aaron Watson. But they had a right-hand man too, and that right-hand man was named Bob Filkowski. Right, now he's a member of their committee, and I have not worked with him, but he's been a hard worker. He entered the Marine Corps at 14. He was wounded 3 times, 3 Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star. Where are you, Bob? There he goes. Gentlemen, for 8 months now, a gal in our office on the West Coast has been on the phones, has been in contact with Tournament of Roses, has been getting out letters, has been getting out all of the correspondence. We counted the correspondence she typed, 275 letters. It took a great deal of work, but you can't do it. And when you're lucky enough to have a gal like Pat Duran who will keep on top of it, you're lucky we had her. Pat Duran, will you take a bow? To the microphone, that wasn't just a show for show purposes. He's worked so darn hard on their behalf. It's his life, 15 years with the tribe. And when we started this whole thing, he said, Lee, it would be tragic indeed if these men marched down Colorado Boulevard and when it was all over, got back on the buses and headed back for Window Rock. What can we put together to make it a few days that they won't forget? That was Martin Link's idea. And so I started looking around, and I found some people who were good people, just as good as Dean Wilson, who got up here with his drums and his dancers. And there was, we lined up Disneyland through Paul Greenfield in Chicago. And believe it or not, with all the producers that I knew, and with all the people in show business, I was really stuck. We wanted the folks to go to Universal Studios for the tour. And when I was talking to the 1st Marine Division in Phoenix, the first guy whose hand went up and said, if they're coming to the West Coast, I want to help. And that turned out to be a very interesting character. He comes up here and makes like a comedian. But the fellow who just passed out that magnum of champagne is the director of the Sunset Rangers, the finest security force on the West Coast. 3 books have been written about this guy. They're going to be doing a movie on him. He's a private investigator, licensed to cover any kind of a situation. And when he, except this one, as Martin said, and when we were looking for Universal Studio Tours, John Danoff come up with 65 tickets. John, stand up and take a bow. The contacts that were made that made it possible for the men to march down Colorado Boulevard resulted in our meeting some fascinating people. It was an experience, really, that a lot of us just will never forget. And one of the finest cooperative gentlemen, an official of the Tournament of Roses, who from the start went one step beyond the call of duty, as a matter of fact, because we received many things that many of the bands and the marching units find it difficult to achieve or obtain. It was provided and created and arranged by a man who's as big as his heart. He graces our presence tonight as the representative, the official representative of the Tournament of Roses. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who was largely responsible for the Navajos being seen by 117 million people, Easy Sloman. And I'll tell you this, after the parade, we received an invitation by Easy, and he said, there's 3 hours between parade time and Rose Bowl, and if you want to have some hot chili and some coffee and a drink and some eggs, nothing fancy, just will make you feel at home. That was provided by his charming wife, Nancy Sloman. These men are wearing very handsome turquoise hats, which is a fitting color for men. Great jewelry of turquoise and silver. And yet, would you believe it, that we had one heck of a hard time trying to find a globe and anchor? They just weren't around. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's the truth. And then it was decided by Martin. He said, Lee, there's only one color that'll go with that turquoise and silver, and that's a silver globe and anchor. So we were lucky enough to meet a past president of the Women's Marine Association, who's one of the nicest master gunnery sergeants you ever met. And they started arriving, and when James Nakai goes back to the reservation, not only will he have all the silver globe and anchors that we provided for him, but another 20 that came in. And not only that, but she's a very thoughtful gal, because those beautiful coasters that were specially printed up that says Navajo Code Talkers with the Marine Corps globe and anchor, that and many more things were provided by a very nice master gunnery sergeant named Helen Hanna. Many of the things we've enjoyed for the past several days Not only did this guy provide a good deal of the wherewithal to do it, but he flew in from Hawaii today, breaking up a vacation that should have lasted one more week. And he and his charming wife, and he's the chaplain of the 4th Marine Division Association, and Jack Schiff, we thank you, sir. I don't want to embarrass Jack, but Jack was 145 pounds when he got in the Marine Corps, and then he was hit by a bullet and some shrapnel that busted up a few glands somewhere down the line. And that guy's got a heart as big as he is, too. And he was the bodyguard for President Roosevelt, FDR. Let's give him a hand. Shortly after the Marines received the medallions in Chicago, a request was made for a scholarship from the 4th Marine Division for one of the daughters of a code talker. I won't go into all of the things that were involved, but I can tell you that the 4th Marine Division is mighty proud to have a scholarship chairman, a man who created that scholarship, and there will be more for the code talkers of the 4th, which is part of our bylaws, but a man who created the scholarship fund of the 4th Division, and as a result of it, if you read Doris Paul's book, all the Marine divisions of the United States of the past, of World War II, adopted the scholarship principle. And that's Jerry Pines, and there he is. I don't want to bring commercials into this, but I want to tell you for a fact that for 8 months with Martin, lot of work. And if it weren't for the financial vice president of my company, I don't know how I could have done it, because I sure didn't work for my company. So I've invited her today. She's as much part of this as anyone else. She's a female executive. She's the finest financial expert in the film business. And I want you to meet our vice president, Dorothy Schechter. Now, I know we've forgotten someone, and who is it?
Your own daughter.
Oh. All right, you're probably right, Ruth, because as it turned out, all of the letters that went out from Chicago, all of the telephone calls and all of the messages were received by Laurie Cannon. So, Laurie, would you stand up? I'd like to wrap up today's program by just this simple comment. Tonight, we saw a bit of history pass before our eyes. We saw an evening where men who are giants share bread with us. We've seen the people who've helped here who have been civilians, privates and master gunnery sergeants and retired lieutenant colonels and generals, aviation, the ground, and I can tell you for a fact that these men here and these ladies here would be great guys and gals to have on the right or the left if you ever had to be part of a firing line. And as long as we have people like that, we just can't go wrong. I was lucky in that the people that we found to run these things had heart. And that's what it's all about. These were people who walk in beauty. And probably a good example is a little bit of a secret. I shouldn't even be telling you. But I know if I didn't tell you, you'd never know it. The kind of heart that each one of these people portrayed and contributed to this kind of an evening and to the past 5 days were pretty much in keeping with what Carl Dearborn did just a short while back. You may have read about this Japanese chap who finally gave up after 27 years in the jungles of Philippines. And he was emaciated, and he was practically out of his mind, but he didn't get the order to give up. He didn't get the order to give up. And when he finally gave himself up and they captured him, Carl Dearborn sent him a letter to Tokyo, and in it he put a $10 check. And he said, you know, I was an enemy of yours, and now I am a past president of the 4th Marine Division Association. And though you were an enemy, I have great respect for the fact that you fought for what you thought was right. And now it appears that you need hospitalization, and from what I read, you're not in very good shape, but I respect you as a warrior. And he said, so long as you live, I'll send you $10 a month. The State Department found out about this letter because it was printed in a Tokyo paper. And Carl Dearborn got a call, and they said, this is the State Department. And he was trying to figure out what he did wrong. Well, he didn't do anything wrong. They invited him to get on a plane and go to Tokyo when this man was given a party. They shook hands, and it's indicative of the kind of heart that the Marine has. Carl Dearborn was typical of what many Marines will do and what they are. And tonight, in closing, in this same spirit, we think in terms of the men who've made such great contributions to our country and to the women. And I think we ought to close in singing the Marine Corps hymn and our respect to these code talkers that we have honored and the Navajos that we have honored, and for the vice chairman of the Navajo tribe, Wilson Skeet, to take back to the chairman, Peter McDonald, the warm good wishes and love of this assembly. Have their raffle.